Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
This morning, right now, I've got 35 at your severe weather station, News Radio WTAM 1100.
The best Browns coverage on game day and every day with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100.
Scott Scuderi's producer extraordinaire alongside. Good morning, pal.
Good morning, Mr. Wills.
Before we get to the Browns,
yes,
we have posted Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Biden's getting serious.
Yes, he is.
This is the no malarkey bus tour.
It sure is.
Right?
Here we
all
go.
President Trump is, it's like he's playing Monopoly or something. I mean, he...
I'll take the
hat. It's, one moment he says he's not going to negotiate, and he says one thing, and then he comes along and says now he's negotiating.
Yeah.
I don't see anything behind what he's doing. I don't quite understand, nor do I think his people around him understand.
No.
What's the end game?
Well, right.
What does he consider to be something that is in America's interest that would result...
What's he talking about?
I have no idea.
Anybody remember the question?
Yeah, I think it had to do with something negotiating with terrorism or something. Or
China?
Or, I think it was the terrorist question.
Yeah, we'll get back to him.
Monopoly. Well, you know what, Joe? You and Hunter, don't collect your $200 and go directly to jail. How
Joe's
about that?
Campaign is a bit of trouble, they also say,
yeah,
when it comes to donors as well as polling numbers. But he's calling it the No Malarkey Bus Tour.
No Malarkey.
And he's going across Iowa. Drumming up support for
my first grade teacher, Sister Jean Antoinette, used to say that. No malarkey.
No malarkey.
No malarkey. I think that's the last time I heard that.
All right, on to the Browns. We have the story this morning, Wilson Center Facebook, wilsoncenter.com. The Browns playoffs chances get ducked out by the Steelers?
Yes, ducked out.
The Browns still have ducked a slight out. Chance of a wild card, don't they?
Very minimal.
Did I see that?
I don't know. Look, let's
There's
just face
a
it. Browns, you're not going to make the playoffs. End of story. Your season's finished.
All
it's
right.
over.
Text I got from you yesterday.
Yes, go for it.
Here we go. 4:30 yesterday afternoon, my phone goes off.
You got it.
I knew. Matter of fact, Mindy and I were out running some errands. She goes, "Oh, that's Scooter, I'll bet." Sure enough, it is. Here's Scooter's text to me and Snyder yesterday, 4:02 p.m. Now, you know, normally on Sunday you get a text, it's like an ABC alert or something,
right,
you know,
there,
oh my
yes.
gosh, my whole day, I've got to rearrange
when
things.
When it goes, bing,
bing, there, it's like, what's going on?
Scooter.
I'm grabbing the phone, I'm driving, she goes, it's Scooter. So here's Scooter's text for yet 4:02. Is the game even over at 4:02?
It was.
Game's not over.
That game was over
well,
at 1:30. That game
they
was
were...
over at 1:30.
So here's Scooter's text, 4:02 yesterday. Kitchen should be gone. Double exclamation point. That means you're really upset, right?
Yes.
And you use voice texting.
Yes,
so
I did.
I can see you just talking into your phone. Kitchen should be gone. Text. Kitchen should be gone. Your running game was the key to this game, and they were doing great with it in the first half, and then they stopped it. The defense quit on the defense, and they quit, and the team as well. It's all because they don't want to play for this guy anymore. Double exclamation point.
They did. The defense quit. I'm sorry. I think the whole team just quit on this guy, and it just looks that way. I'm done. It's
the shirt thing. I get it. Freddie says, "Look, my daughters bought it for we're going out for dinner. I've had a coat over it." Yeah, but he knew somebody was going to see that thing.
Sure.
And it's just in the age of social media, and I know the shirt didn't make him lose, but it's just another example.
No, it's a bad look, Bill. You're right.
It's loose ends out there.
Absolutely.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. He'll join us a bit later at 6:50. Great couple of columns and pieces. One of the, at one point, he just wrote it was ridiculous. Just ridiculous in so many ways. So, more on the Browns throughout the morning. Let's get to it right now. Sports 15 and 45 fast with the perspective. Here is Mike Snyder.
Well, this was the Browns offense as I saw it in the second half.
Ducks, you better watch for them. Yeah, call Larry, Curly, and Moe on this one. Steelers 20, Browns 13. The game really came apart late second quarter. Browns had taken a 10-0 lead, and it looked like the way we had visualized it going into this week. But then the Steelers came back and tied it. The Browns got stopped. A quick three and out. Steelers came alive, and they took advantage, I think, of the Browns' secondary banged up. No Demarius Randall. That's every week there's something, and it bit them. And then Baker injures his hand on that late throw in the second quarter. Steelers did just enough in the second half to win 20-13. Baker had x-rays on the hand. Now, he was wearing a big wrap on it with ice, I guess, and so forth. He says he's going to be all right, but certainly looked like it, having to wear a glove affected his throwing in the second half. On the loss, here's what he said.
You know, you have to play as a team on the road to be able to have success, and we didn't do it consistently enough to have a win today.
In really every single area, really, when you think of it. Now, speaking of wearing things, Freddie Kitchens had this response when asked about wearing that Pittsburgh Starter T-shirt on Friday.
The T-shirt didn't have anything to do with us at the minus one moving out. I wore a T-shirt. I wore a jacket with it. My daughters wanted me to wear the shirt, and I'd wear it again. I'd put a jacket on. I covered it up. I took a picture with a fan. That was as simple as that, you know. T-shirt didn't cause us to give up 40-yard passes, and we were ready to play. That's the only thing people need to be concerned about. We were ready to play.
Well, Terry, Freddie, if you're worried about covering it up, why are you wearing it? That's not a look. You are now in a different role. You're not the assistant. You're not the running backs coach anymore. Several Steelers took note. Now, did it decide the game? No. But it's a bad look when you're the head coach. And then you listen to Mike Tomlin when he was asked about any concern he had from the previous game. Here's what he said.
We weren't concerned about it, to be quite honest with you. We were about beating them today. That's how you deal with some of that stuff. You beat them.
Yep, that's it. That is exactly it. Browns now fall to 5-7. They host the no longer winless Bengals Sunday. How about that? The Bengals, with Andy Dalton back, they beat the Jets 22-6, so they avoid a winless season. Ravens 10-2, now the number one seed in the AFC after New England fell in Houston last night, 28-22. Baltimore with a great win over the 49ers yesterday by a score of 20-17. Speaking of great wins, Ohio State making Michigan look like they're Indiana or Illinois once again as they blow them out. Now the Bucks get ready for a rematch with Wisconsin Saturday night in the Big Ten championship game. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
All right, several tweets and people upset about the Browns. Colin Cowherd, who I enjoy. I mean, you may not like him, but he throws some content out, shall we say. He and Baker go back and forth a lot.
Oh, yeah, you know? Well, there's another thing. Our quarterback, and you know, it's, there you go.
Colin Cowherd tweets yesterday. It's pretty good. So I got to give him credit, okay? Here's what he said. The Pittsburgh Steelers, on their third-string quarterback, just beat the most talented Cleveland Browns roster in a decade. Great organizations overcome obstacles. Lousy organizations create them.
Absolutely. There it is. I mean, there's a culture there. You've got to give it to the Steelers. I hate losing to them, but there they are. Look what they were down to yesterday. I mean, as far as, and the game they put together, the only chance to win. And
sure. Well, let's add another one. As former Mayor Michael Bloomberg in, Alex Castellanos with his take on what's going on. First of all, the guy'd have to take a pay cut if he were elected, right?
Amen. He'd take one of the biggest pay cuts in history. Michael Bloomberg is worth $54 billion. That's more than you and I are going to make all day.
I think you're right. He already has commercials here in Ohio, which I kind of wonder. Is this all ego? I mean, come on. Why does he want to do this?
You know, billionaires are not known for being short in the ego department, so I'm sure that's got to be a part of it. But he thinks Donald Trump is a threat to the nation, and he sees a big hole in the Democratic Party. And that hole is Joe Biden. Biden is collapsing, and he doesn't, like a lot of Democrats, they don't think they have a candidate who can beat Donald Trump. They're worried that the Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and even the Pete Buttigieg's are just not strong enough. So, hey, why not give it a shot? And he's decided to run a very different campaign. Skip the first four states. Start March 3rd on Super Tuesday when you have those big states like California, Texas, North Carolina, Virginia, when you have 25% of the delegates up in one day, and run a national campaign. Get out the old checkbook, spend whatever it takes, create a national campaign, and bet it all on one roll of the dice.
You've worked a few campaigns. Let's talk about that strategy some. He doesn't have to take part in the debate, so he can stay out of controversy. Maybe the first few primaries go to different people. They're looking around. They're worried. Well, just turn to Bloomberg by Super Tuesday.
That's their hope. I don't think it's going to work for a couple of reasons. One is the Beatles, I think, were partly right. Money can't buy you love. It can only buy you love if you're lovable, and I'm not sure that Michael Bloomberg is. But his bigger problem is that he's not an unknown. Voters in Texas already know him, and they know he is pro-gun control, and that's not going to sell well in Texas, even with Democrats. Voters in California, liberal Democrats who vote in a primary, they think he's kind of an economic Republican, which he was until recently. So he's not only got to create a campaign, he's got to erase the image that two-thirds of Democrats already have of him. That's hard to do.
Hey, finally, let me get you out of here on the impeachment inquiry. Question is, if you're the Democrats, how do you get out of this? Show me the door. We can't push this over to the Senate. Nobody wants this, but we want to save face with our donors, too, don't we?
Yep. And the way you get out of it is that there is no good way to get out of it, but there's a quick way. And so you head for the door as quick as you can, and Democrats are hoping to get these articles of impeachment on the table next week. That's when they're going to put those things together. Get them, vote on them, get them over to the Senate, and make it Mitch McConnell's problem. Look, if this is all politics, if it weren't, the Democrats would say, we'll take as long as it takes. They want to get this out of the way so they can campaign for president.
More from Michael Bauer coming up at 5:40 on what may play out this week when it comes to the impeachment process. Political analyst Alex Castellanos on News Radio WTAM 1100. Did your Google Assistant wake you up this morning? Great. Listening on your Google Assistant? If it's not waking you up, just ask it to wake you up at WTAM 1100 on iHeartRadio. Easy way to set your alarm. Start your morning with us. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. No matter the time, day, or show, just tell Google to play WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills.
First and foremost witness is Adam Schiff. It's easy to hide behind a report. It's easy to hide behind a gavel in intelligence committees behind closed-door hearings.
Top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee, Congressman Doug Collins, and I've got Michael Bauer in this morning. President Trump going to head over to the NATO meeting, but he's got, of course, impeachment on his mind, as do they have in Congress. Okay, now, House Intelligence Committee going to review with the report on impeachment, goes over to Judiciary this week. Busy week this week, right?
Yeah, in fact, what we're hearing is that House Intelligence Committee will have their reviewing today, and they're going to give themselves 24 hours to review all the information that they have, everything from the public, from the behind-closed-door hearings, all of the evidence, all of the documents that they've got. They're going to give themselves 24 hours to review it, and then they're going to vote on it tomorrow, likely along party lines, teeing it up for consideration for the Judiciary Committee. And the Judiciary Committee is the part of the House that will draw up the charges of impeachment against President Trump. They are expected to have their first hearing on Wednesday. And committee chairman Jerry Nadler had invited President Trump or somebody from the White House to come represent there. Their plan is to do an impeachment 101, explain to the public exactly what the impeachment process was, why the forefathers came up with it, how it's going to work for them, and again, inviting the White House to be there. Last night received word that the White House will not participate in the House Judiciary Committee's first impeachment hearing on Wednesday, but they did leave open the possibility that they may take part and the president may be a part of future proceedings. So I'm not holding my breath for that portion of things, but it does look like we are fast moving here. With the only 24-hour turnaround coming from the House Intel community, seems to be get this done as quickly as possible, get it into the Judiciary Chair's hands, let them draw up the articles of impeachment, and see if we can't get a vote in the entirety of the House for whatever those charges will be by Christmas time.
So what we've seen so far is kind of the investigation. Judiciary is going to look at it and see if it's worth passing it on to the grand jury, if you will, which will be on the floor of the House, and then they, if they choose, they send it over to the Senate for trial.
Correct, yes. You are going to see all of that information pulled together. If they feel like they've got enough evidence to create charges and what those charges would look like, we've yet to see. But the House Judiciary Committee would be the ones drawing up those charges. And then once voted upon by the entirety of the House to say, yes, we support all of this, then it's sent over to the Senate. The Senate will begin the trial process, possibly as soon as the first of the year.
And I guess the White House thinks if they send somebody, it makes the process look correct when they say the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Exactly. Right. They said it's an unfair process. They want to make sure that they highlight that portion of it.
Got a turkey sandwich for lunch today, by the way?
I do, with plenty of stuffing on the side, which I love.
Michael Bauer, thanks. All right, more coming up at 6. Thanks, pal. Back to work and back to worrying about something. The Global Terrorism Index has been released. Bill Zimpfer on it. What is this thing?
Yeah, this is released every year, Bill, by the Institute for Economics and Peace. What it does is looks at terrorism around the world, what has changed, what the hotspots are, and looks at the most deadly terrorist groups in the world. And in general, what this report tells us is there's good news and bad news. That, number one, the good news, the deaths from terrorism fell for the fourth consecutive year after peaking in 2014. As a matter of fact, since that time, terror-related deaths have dropped 52%. 15% last year alone in 2018. Now, the bad news is that this is spreading, that 71 countries reported a terrorism-related death in 2018. That is the second highest number since they started keeping track of all this back in 2000. So it is spreading to other countries around the world, even though the number of deaths cumulatively has gone down. The deadliest groups out there, the Taliban, is now the deadliest terrorist group in the world, supplanting ISIS as number one. ISIS is number two now for the first time since 2014. Taliban responsible for 38% of all terrorism deaths around the world. And as for the countries that are the most dangerous, Bill, you could probably guess. Afghanistan, Iraq, Nigeria, Syria and Pakistan are the top five, but the United States is not completely absolved here. The United States comes in at number 22 as most impacted by terrorism, with a report warning that far-right terrorism is on a dramatic rise worldwide, especially in the Western countries. They say there's been an increase of 320% over the last 4 years in far-right terrorism.
Interesting. Bill Zimpfer with the stats this morning, and their lives, too. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome, Bill.
Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
WTAM wants you to have $1 million holiday. How's that sound, huh? After what you've spent the last few days or plan on spending for the holidays? Get ready to text the nationwide keyword you hear to 200-200. Your first chance coming up after the news at 6. Also a chance after 8 this morning on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. 5:54. All right, best Browns coverage. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, and Coach Freddie Kitchens. They didn't run the ball in the second half.
I think only six times.
Pittsburgh made adjustments, and our guys, I think Pluto even wrote, our guys looked like they were trying to find their cell phone.
And this has happened. Like this has happened
around.
Before.
Just, yeah.
This has happened before.
Which is
now,
coaching,
and
right?
Then, of course, well, and then Baker's hand. I don't care who the quarterback is, when you're wearing a glove and it's been injured, it's not the same as it was before you were.
So hand the ball off.
Try to run the ball.
Now here's Coach Freddie.
All right, guys. Of course, disappointing in the result of this game. We're going to continue the same mindset. We need to be 1-0 at the end of this week coming up. Our guys got a dose of what playoff atmosphere was like. We need to continue to get better so we respond better the next time out.
Can you be specific about what happened to Baker's hand?
Just a contusion right now, a bruise.
And do you think it affected the way he threw it in the second half?
I don't think so. I think Baker's fine.
So you could see X-ray at halftime, right?
It was.
Freddie, you guys got off such a strong start. What do you think changed?
I think they... We held the ball for, you know, they had three possessions in the first half. We played the type game that we wanted to play in the first half. We didn't convert one time down in the red zone. We had to kick a field goal. And then two other times later in the game, we were down there and should have gotten touchdowns out of it. So that was really the difference in the game from the standpoint, from an offensive perspective. But, you know, I told our guys all three phases could have done something to prevent that or change the outcome of the game. We've got to realize when we're in the moment to make a difference and make a difference in the game and then put it behind us.
Okay, it's easy to overreact. They lose. It's Pittsburgh. We're all frustrated. But if you're John Dorsey and you just heard your coach, I'm good. I got you. I see what we were doing. I'm good. You were doing a good job. Let's move on. Or
I think John's got to be concerned here. I mean, the red zone has been an issue much of the year. Now, they had this little win streak, but it goes back to when it's really on the line in a tough situation where you need the big play. They weren't able to make it in the red zone. As he said earlier in the game, they had a chance to pull away. But as that game went along, Hodges got some confidence at quarterback. He hits a few plays. Now, he's feeling good. They tie the game. Pittsburgh had to feel great at the halftime.
Oh, yeah.
They had to sit there and say, we got these
guys. We got
guys.
Them where we want.
We got, and they did. They actually did. And the Browns, they have some issues on the offensive line that they're going to need to address, but that was just a poor performance. And you know, you can say what you will or not about the T-shirt not costing the game, but when I see a quote like David DeCastro of the Steelers say, I thought it was pretty stupid. That's a lot of bulletin board material. I don't know why you would do that as a coach.
Good question. Good question. And he said he'd do it again. And Bengals are next. And by the way, they won.
They won again.
They're on a roll. 5:58. More Best Browns coverage throughout the morning. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com at 6:50. Can't wait to talk to Cribs. Josh Cribs at 7:50. Speaking of the weekend, you see a movie? Christopher Watson runs down what we saw.
I believe in you, Elsa. It's a Thanksgiving holiday earnings record for Disney's Frozen 2. Another $126.3 million starting with Wednesday night. That keeps it in first place and beats the previous Thanksgiving earnings record set by 2013's The Hunger Games: Catching Fire.
I suspect foul play.
The dark comedy whodunit Knives Out exceeded expectations with a second place $41.7 million holiday opening. Pat Sajak's on the mend. 3 weeks after undergoing emergency surgery for a blocked intestine, he was spotted courtside with his daughter at a weekend Washington Capitals game.
Okay, no, this could be explained.
Leonardo DiCaprio is not secretly bankrolling Brazilian forest fires to increase donations to environmental causes. The Oscar winner posted that denial online in response to a bizarre claim by Brazil's president.
Now, are you sure you wanna...
And Britney Spears is 38 today. I'm Christopher Watson, ABC News.
Twitter poll this morning at WTAM 1100. Tweet your frustration as a Browns fan at WTAM 1100. Who do you blame most for the Browns' loss? Coaching, offense, defense? Early returns, 80% Mike Snyder say coaching. They say coaching. On Twitter at
And now, 5 good minutes.
It's the NFL. You're not just going to throw anybody that's a slouch out there. It's the NFL for a reason. They've been playing without Ben pretty much the whole year. So it's never an excuse. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
Our quarterback, Baker Mayfield, talking about their quarterback this morning. 2013 loss in Pittsburgh. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Latest good read is Vintage Cavs. He'll join us for a Showgram podcast as well this week. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Good morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
Does that drive seem a bit longer? What I was going to say after a loss, but it's that way every time when you drive back from Pittsburgh, right?
Yes, because usually there's something attached to it. Either somebody is getting fired or, like this one, you come back and they can't, like, leave and lose a normal game to Pittsburgh. And when they finally do beat Pittsburgh, it's not a normal game either.
That is true. They did beat the Steelers once.
Yeah, they did.
I mean,
it's really funny. You think about it. They beat the Steelers for the first time in 100 years. They beat Lamar Jackson. And, you know, people can say what they want about Josh Allen and Buffalo. They're a good team. And they've lost to Brandon Allen. They lost to the Duck.
Yeah, they have. They're 0-2 versus third-string quarterbacks. Terry, this team, there's always something. And at the end of the day, that stuff was reflected on top. All week long, we heard Freddie say, hey, no fluff, none of this. And then he gets this terrible look, and he kind of tried to downplay it. I'm not saying they lost the game because he wore a T-shirt Friday, but that's a bad look, isn't it?
Well, I combined it with Demaryius Randall being suspended earlier in the week in much the same way of when they had the fight game. Remember, before that game, that's when they cut Callaway because of problems. So, you know, under the rug of the game, it seemed like there's been these discipline issues that I do think come and do bother them. You know, some teams can handle that stuff, and it doesn't seem to affect them on the field. But I think most teams don't really enjoy doing that. I mean, I don't know if Demaryius Randall is playing safety in a couple of long passes, go for long gains with Pittsburgh or not. But it was a tough thing for Sheldrick Redwine, you know, making his first NFL start, to be in there in a game like that, in a place like that.
Yeah, and going into the biggest game of the year, which it was, and then to lose a key starter like that, just another reflection on this team. They're 5-7, can't get the ball to Beckham downfield.
Right.
These stories just continue for this team, Terry.
I have a question for you, Mike. We've been around football a long time. Have you ever been around a team where all you ever hear is they didn't get the ball to this guy, they didn't get the ball to this guy, they didn't get the ball to this guy?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's an issue.
That is.
I mean, whether it is or you're focused on the wrong thing. My feeling is, in a lot of ways, I mean, Beckham makes a play, makes it here, makes a play there, and what you put him in Jarvis Landry, one of these combine, you know, who's more athletic things, of course he looks better. But I'm throwing the ball to Jarvis most of the time if I'm looking for a safe receiver.
And that was one of the greatest catches ever that he made
early
in that game yesterday.
And a couple others, guys were on his back trying to knock his head off, and he caught the ball. So, you know, again, I don't fault that. I have to admit, the Beckham thing, at the end of the year, we're going to really look at that and go through games and stuff and say, all right, how much was this really worth?
And then we look at this defensively. Terry, you had the Steelers at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
And what are their options? They were so depleted. That was a backup center they had there.
Right, backup center. Benny Snell Jr. You know, you all remember his father, Benny Snell Jr. I don't mean to be sarcastic.
I hear you.
You know, say Benny Snell and the Ducks back there, and they're just running, and then they hit a couple passes. They're running Wildcat stuff. I mean, give Russ Feitner's son, you know, the former Brown, credit for the kind of game plan you put together when you have a quarterback that, as Mike Tomlin says, we don't want him to kill us. You know, he made one bad pass, and that was it. And you're up 10-0. It's the middle of the second quarter. That place is turning into a fan tomb there in Pittsburgh, and they let him back in it.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. His take. Josh Cribbs later at 7:50. We'll catch up with Terry too this week on a Showgram podcast on the Vintage Cavs book, which is a great read. All right, Terry, thanks much.
Take care, guys.
Browns take on the Bengals. First Energy Stadium this Sunday. Here the Universal Windows Direct Countdown to Kickoff live from Jack Cleveland Casino, 9-1. Best Browns coverage, WTAM 1100 and 106.9 FM. Tribs at MGM Northfield this afternoon after 3. Bernie Kosar. A little bit of the Music Box Blues. Our first tree. Barry Gable, Live Nation, with me on News Radio, WTAM 1100. By the way, great follow, Instagram, Twitter, Live Nation, especially Barry, been traveling a lot. Let me get to the TSO first, because you've been out, and you've already seen a couple of shows that they have done. Can't wait to see what they got for us here in Cleveland.
It's an amazing run for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and for, you know, this has been going on for 21 years. It actually broke out of Cleveland back in 99, and I heard you previously mention how Munch was down at St. Augustine Hunger Center.
Yeah.
You know, this tour in Cleveland, when TSO comes here, has an affection and an affinity for the St. Augustine Hunger Center, and over the last 21 years, not including what we're going to donate this year, has donated more than $600,000 from proceeds from the concert here in Cleveland directly to the St. Augustine Hunger Center. So when you buy a ticket to see TSO on December 27th, a good chunk stays right here in Cleveland to help the needy.
Barry, that's fantastic. And really, you know, people, the first time you go to a Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert in Cleveland, it won't be your last. It becomes a tradition, and they understand that. And they know that when they leave behind, if you will, you know, a donation for this community, don't they?
There's no question about it, and it is cross-generational. You'll see grandmothers with grandfathers and their grandkids and their children and their great-grandchildren. It's amazing. The other night when we were in Dayton, we actually were seeing 4 generations of families seeing the show and raising their hands and saying how many years they've been there. It's a really great tradition, and it's an amazing concert.
Fantastic. Now, Barry's with me this morning. I'm going to run down a few concerts. We're talking about Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They're doing 2 shows. Do we still have tickets for that?
2 shows.
Okay.
Tickets are available at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse or LiveNation.com on Friday, December 27th. Like I said, tickets are on sale now for that show, and they make great holiday gifts, needless to say. All these concerts we're going to talk about make great holiday gifts.
Let's talk about them. Run them down. What you got for me this morning?
Well, you know, we're going on sale with Hall of Fame. They're up for potential induction this year. Looking forward to seeing the Doobie Brothers and their 50th anniversary tour, featuring original members Tom Johnson, Michael McDonald, Pat Simmons, John McAfee. That's going on sale this Friday. They're going to be performing here at Blossom Music Center July 22nd,
mm-hmm.
and tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. We already went on sale with Journey and the Pretenders, also playing at Blossom Music Center this summer. So Chrissy Hynde and her band will be returning home. A band, great band that people may not know in your audience, but we already have over 2,500 tickets sold for a Nautica show with Joe Russo's Almost Dead in the jam band kind of genre. David Gray will be performing at Jacobs Pavilion this summer, with his Babylon album, and that album was such a huge, huge success in his career. And then, of course, the Black Crowes, we announced a couple of weeks ago, 30th anniversary of Shake Your Moneymaker, and they're going to be performing at Blossom Music Center on August 18th. And if we move over to MGM, I know Todd Flenner would want me to mention some of the great shows that are playing over there. This week we've got Frank Caliendo, the comedian. He's playing on Friday.
Funny guy.
Night Ranger will be there December 7th. We've got Under the Street Lamp, which is a great, great show. This is made up of performers that have been on Broadway. They've been in Book of Mormon, Jersey Boys, 42nd Street, and they're going to do a great holiday show with all of the great holiday hits that you'd want to see over at MGM. And, of course, his annual trek into MGM. We have two shows with Michael Stanley and the Resonators with Donny Iris, December 14th and December 21st.
Hey, by the way, just so you know, I'm also looking. In January, Vince Neil, the legendary voice of Motley Crue, is going to play MGM on January 10th. In Live Nation, you guys make this so easy. You're looking for stocking stuffers, or, you know, what do you get somebody? If they like music, take a look at the concert list. You make it easy to buy them something.
No, and it's a great memory maker. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm a big Browns fan, as everybody else is in this town, but we didn't have a lot of memories made yesterday. But the concerts definitely will not break your heart like our sports teams do.
Outstanding. Anything else you want to share?
No, that's really all we have. We also have Harry Styles. If you're looking for younger man, Harry Styles from One Direction, went on sale a couple of weeks ago, playing Rocket Mortgage Field House July 15th. For tickets of all the shows we've talked about and anything else coming up, LiveNation.com has a full lineup of activities that are coming up, not only here in December, but the rest of the summer.
Let me get you out of here on the Doobies. Look, little inside, just you and me, and I know you don't have to give me too much. I'm thinking, I'm a big fan. They got to get in the Rock Hall. If they bring back Michael McDonald for this 50th, I mean, the stars are lining up, right, Barry? Come on.
There's no question. And according to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fan vote, they're in the top three. Yeah. So there's a good chance that they sort of knew what was going on.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, Barry, thanks much. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
You got it. You too.
Be
stay
good.
Late.
See Peter. You, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside former Brown and fan, number one for all of us, I think, now Josh Cribbs is in. By the way, nice job lighting the lights over the weekend, at least.
Appreciate it. Thank
nice
you.
Job.
I got something right.
No, you do everything right. You weren't playing yesterday. Downtown looked beautiful, and you guys were a part of that. All right, you've slept on it. What do you think?
Well, I see a good football team that can be great. We're just not there yet. And when they give you inklings that they have the talent and they're over the hump, I understand. I'm forced back into reality to understand that even though we have a good football team with great talent, we're just not there yet as a football team and as a coaching staff for that matter. And, you know, Freddie will say this, any coach on the staff will say that they're not there yet. If they were, they would win the game they're supposed to. Yesterday was a very winnable game. I'm sure they would do things differently,
if they could. In retrospect, everybody does, but this is a good team that isn't there yet. And I have to learn how to, and I guess we as fans, again, every time we have to learn how to just accept what we have in the football team right now, even though they are better than they're playing.
And Josh, they're 0-2 against teams with starting their third string quarterback. You go back, as bad as things had gone, 5.5 minutes to go, they've got the Steelers on the 1 yard line, and they just let them run it out of there. We know how depleted Pittsburgh was.
Yeah, we can look at that game in many different ways. The lack of complementary football. These are things that the coaches will say to the players as well. So this is not like, just a one-off or, my opinion. It's lack of complementary football. Defense should have been way more dominant, way more forceful versus a third-string quarterback. I mean, this guy has so much time. Granted, we were depleted on the defense side of the ball. You get to see what our depth is like. We have depth at positions, but now we get to see what that depth is like. We get to see if they can, stand the test. And I was disappointed in our depth defensively. I was disappointed in our attack defensively. Not so much Freddie. Yes, our offense could have, scored, put up more points because that's the object of the game, to score more points than the other team. But I think defensively, with the team that we faced on offense, third-string quarterback, no-name receivers, I barely knew their running backs. I mean, with all these depleted offensive talent that the Steelers had, even Tomlin said it in his press conference. He said, and then he kind of walked it back because he didn't want to, take anything away from his team. He said, given the circumstances, and then he stopped that line of speaking because he didn't want to take nothing away. But given those circumstances, we should have done better defensively, and I was disappointed in that unit most of all.
Yeah, and Josh, are we ever going to get a guy that can return a kick? I mean, they put some excitement. It seems like they just, the special teams have been good. The punting and the play kicking, Seibert's been all right. But on the other side of it, man, I remember you. We've not had anybody since you.
Right. and they have a speedster back deep, but I think in general, the return game is not even looked at as a weapon on this team. I think that it's definitely overshadowed. It's underutilized. I just don't see it. I don't see that they take that facet of the game seriously. In my opinion, being a special teams player, I don't see it. I don't see that it's a valiant effort, being as though we were a good special teams. All the good teams, all the great teams in the league have a dominant special teams to help complement either their offense or their defense with field position or stopping the opposing offense or, backing them up on defense. So it's just something that is just not there for this team. And I can't fathom. Why special teams is not an important factor for this football team. Maybe they'll say it is, but I don't see it on the field.
Josh Cribbs, a lot of us look to you on a Monday morning, and boy, you brought it again this morning. Good stuff. Josh, thanks much, pal.
Thank you, guys.
Colin Cowherd, one of my favorite tweets. It's easy to dump, I get it, but Cowherd yesterday tweeted, Pittsburgh Steelers, on their third-string quarterback, just beat the most talented Cleveland Browns roster in a decade. I'm still quoting. Great organizations overcome obstacles. Lousy organizations. WTAM 1100. You okay? Scott Scuderi's producer extraordinaire alongside Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Stein. It is Bill Wills. Barry Gable with Live Nation was with us early this morning running, and he left this announcement for you.
Yes, he did.
Because he knows what a huge Alanis Morissette fan you are.
The anthem, here it is.
Break out the Dockers.
Break out the Birkenstocks, the Doc Martens. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. The 2020 tour celebrating 25 years.
This is breaking news, and he left Scooter to announce this.
Jagged Little Pill tour. 25 years she's going to celebrate it. Alanis Morissette with special guest Garbage. Get on Garbage with Shirley Manson. And also appearing, Liz Phair. I've met her. Liz Phair. Nice lady. Cuyahoga Falls, Blossom Music Center, July 23rd. It's going to be
in your wheelhouse,
a tree-hugging affair, trust me.
You want to pick up some of those names you dropped on the way out?
I could. Yeah. You got it.
So Alanis Morissette, what's the date again?
July 23rd. Tickets go on sale.
I mean, he's just...
Friday, December the 13th at 11 a.m.
That's the news. Friday the 13th.
Yes, okay. Friday, December 13th,
Barry was going to announce this, and Scooter's like, no, let me... And Barry let him do it. It's like a Christmas present. I've never seen you so excited.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen you so excited. All right, get back there and answer the Cavaliers coverage on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Your morning Cavs update this morning brought to you by Huntington Bank, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Tim Alcorn. We'll call the Cavs Pistons tomorrow night, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Hi, Tim. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
I just mentioned to Snyder, you know, close the other night, the Bucks, you know, one of the best in the East, and a tip of the hat, Darius Garland, and the way he's playing, 21 points the other night.
I'll tell you what, we mentioned during the broadcast, he seems to have found his shooting stroke. He had mentioned during the preseason and early during the year, he thought he was a little bit rusty, hadn't played since those first five games at Vanderbilt. So he appears to have found the shooting eye, and you're right, Bill, they made a great run at Milwaukee, got it down to three a few times in that fourth quarter, couldn't quite get over the hump. Milwaukee's got a great closer in Giannis, he hit big shots, but all in all, I would say that was an encouraging performance.
Yeah, John Beilein seemed upbeat about it, Tim, and he really liked the way they move the ball. That's what he's preaching, isn't he?
He sure is. Mike, you and I watched that game against Orlando where they gave it up 25 times. You're not going to win in the NBA with 25 turnovers. So that really improved in the ball game against Milwaukee. And as you said, the ball movement, I know there were a couple of possessions. It seemed like four, if not all five guys on the offensive end touched the ball. And that's going to keep the defense moving, and it's going to get you great looks. And that's what the Cavs had in that second half.
Now, on the health front, there's some hope we might see Dylan Windler back and maybe John Henson this week. What's the latest you've heard, Tim?
I've heard that Henson is very close. They thought he might go last week. John decided he wasn't quite ready to go. Dylan Windler, I don't know if we'll see him on this homestand, perhaps this weekend, either in Philly or in Boston next Monday, but everything that we hear is that he's very, very close.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, two more to go on this homestand. The Pistons in town tomorrow, and they've got some size inside with Drummond. Your thoughts about tomorrow's game?
Well, Drummond and obviously Blake Griffin as well, and one of the things that Jim Jones has talked about during the broadcast is when we run into teams that have size, have length on us, that's what creates problems. Obviously, that's why we're anxious to get John Henson back. He provides some length and some size in that low block. So Detroit could be a matchup problem, but I know they just clobbered San Antonio yesterday, but they've only won seven games all year. So hopefully if the Cavs can beat those big guys down the floor and utilize down the floor, and utilize their quickness, we might be able to get one on Monday night.
A few more days to get the honey-do list done, because you're still home. Tuesday against Detroit, and then, of course, Friday against Orlando. So, great chance to catch the Cavs at Rockin' Mortgage Fieldhouse, right?
Yeah, it's a big honey-do list, Bill. We're moving, so there's a lot of things going on in my life.
Oh, my. Well, good luck with that. Snyder will help you if you need anybody, okay?
Yeah. I'll give you a call.
All right, do that.
I got his number for you. Tim, thanks, pal. Tim Alcorn.
See you, Tim.
Jim Jones, this time tomorrow morning. Hey, tomorrow night, Cavs take on the Pistons, 7 o'clock. And it's Cavs versus Pistons, 7 o'clock. It's Austin Carr bobblehead giveaway presented by Medical Mutual. And they dropped off these bobbleheads. Great look for Austin Carr. This is a collectible. This is fantastic. You get this tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's pretty happy with it. He's got a lot of hair under there, too.
Well, now the one thing I would notice is Austin is, he's protecting the ball. Okay? In the pose they have for the bobblehead, you don't see him passing because there were very few, you know, passes that
should've
Austin.
Should have had him in the shooting mode.
They should have
right?
had him in the shooting mode, yeah. But he's protecting the ball. It's a great bobblehead, though. So you get that tomorrow night. Cavs.com to get your tickets for Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse tomorrow night for the Austin Carr bobblehead giveaway presented by... I've been covering news in this town for a long time. The John Domenyuk story, something that you covered, of course.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. Yep.
He, of course, has passed. Mm-hmm. And the subject of an interesting docudrama on Netflix... if you've seen it, The Devil Next Door, and Ted Henry, longtime anchor over at 5, a part of that, with his coverage and reporting from Israel. We caught up with him with our weekly Showgram podcast on the iHeartRadio app, the Wills and Snyder Showgram podcast. Domenyuk died in 2012 at the age of 91. 2011, he was found guilty, sentenced to 5 years in prison in Germany, of course. Very
yes.
complicated on what the actual guilty plea, the finding was. But the last image of him coming out of his home, literally being carried out of his home, in nearby Seven Hills, Ted Klopp was there for us that day, a part of WTAM News.
There was a lot of controversy. It was, you know, when they pulled him out of the house, we weren't aware of this surveillance video at the time. All we saw was what we saw, which was a 90-year-old man, 91, whatever he was at the time,
yeah,
in a wheelchair, and it was quite a scene. So they pull him out, and the screams that he's screaming, bellowing, whatever you want to say, periodically as they're moving him out, seemingly in this lot of pain. And I just remember standing there thinking, you know, what am I watching? Because the whole time it's like, you know, is he acting? Is he not? So here again, and here we are. Is he acting? Is he not? What am I really watching? What am I seeing? Am I seeing a war criminal being pulled out of his home for justice? Or am I seeing an old man wrongfully persecuted? And is what I'm seeing genuine? And I didn't know. And of course, watching the documentary, we now know that that was certainly seemed to be a show based on the surveillance footage that they showed.
Ted Klopp, part of our Showgram podcast, up on the iHeartRadio app. Check it out. More on the John Demjanjuk, Ivan the Terrible question that is still there. Ted Henry, former anchor at 5, caught up with him as well. He'll join me coming up at 8:52. We're all done Cleveland at 9:05. I was looking at President Trump's tweets this morning. He's talking about the economy, 21% gain in the market since the tariffs in 2018. He's heading over to that NATO meeting, and yeah, it's been a love-hate relationship with NATO. But, I mean, Geraldo, wherever you see a story about the president, you also see under it the impeachment, right?
I think it's such a waste of time, yeah. Bill, and I really urge the president to absolutely ignore this Congressman Jerry Nadler, his longtime nemesis from back in the days when Nadler was in the state legislature in New York, hated Trump, opposed everything Trump did. Now he's going to hold these kangaroo court hearings Wednesday with their four ordained conclusions, right, about this fake impeachment. Why they don't just let the voters decide, I have no idea. That's their spite will cost them, I believe.
So you agree with, at least at this point, the White House says we're not going to send anybody up there to talk about this.
I sure do. Okay. I mean, it's an interesting area on this rainy Monday following Thanksgiving. We got all our relatives safely back home, and now we're back right into the muck of this impeachment. I think that the president should fight them by ignoring them. The political scene in Washington is so irredeemably partisan that why bother?
Geraldo in Cleveland next at 9:05, and then some leftovers for lunch. Speaking of podcasts, check out the weekly Wills and Snyder Showgram podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Later this week, we'll catch up with Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, his new book, Vintage Cans. Up there right now, the John Demjanjuk story. That's a title of a Netflix docudrama. And if you watched it, you've seen longtime Channel 5 anchor Ted Henry, who's been retired about 10 years. I caught up with him. We talked more about the case. And when he last anchored in Cleveland, he signed off talking about trying to find love in different ways in life. His love for broadcasting, his love for people. And interesting perspective he shared on his coverage of the Demjanjuk story.
And what you just said about my closing comments, I never thought about it until this second. But that last message, especially about love, had a lot to do with the experience I had over 4 or 5 visits to Israel for the John Demjanjuk war crimes trial, because I learned one thing that I don't know how to make up my mind definitively and render a judgment on anything or anyone. So everybody gets a deal cut to them by me in life.
Well said. Well said, Ted. Let me get to the story. And if you have Netflix and this dropped a couple of weeks ago, I got to tell you, I my radio schedule in the afternoon, I find myself on the elliptical and I'm finding something to watch. And knowing we were going to talk, I wanted to watch this. Ted, I know that somebody else produced it. Don't get me wrong. They cut to you a lot with interviews. Ted, I had to get off the elliptical. You can't do anything else when you watch this, because it is so disturbing to be reminded what did happen on this earth.
Well, the man who put it together, Yossi Block, is he's not even retired. He's about 45 years old, an engineer by trade from Tel Aviv. This is his life quest to do the definitive story on the Holocaust. And as he looked into the Demjanjuk, Ivan the Terrible story,
it became more and more a fixation on his mind that he couldn't stop. So when he actually emailed me, I thought he was some 16-year-old high school kid from Israel, and I didn't even care to give him the time of day because too much was going on in my life.
Right.
He persisted, came
right.
over twice with the film crew, started asking me questions that I told him ahead of time. Hey, you're asking me to remember something from 30 years ago? Ain't going to happen, but it did.
It did, and he remembered a lot. It's really interesting going back and forth with Ted and different people involved in the story and the family and all. The Devil Next Door on Netflix. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If not, it's up there. Ted Henry, a longtime anchor at Channel 5, part of that and the coverage. There's more on our Wills and Snyder Showgram podcast. It's up on the iHeartRadio app. Check it out. Thanks for doing that. All right, we're back in the morning at 5. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. News, sports, traffic, and weather together on the 10s. We've got a lot of spending today with Cyber Monday. A few tips tomorrow on how to stay in your budget, too. Kevin Myroff, an NCA financial planner. He'll join me at 6:50. Don't spend too much money between now and then. He'll help. Geraldo and Cleveland's up next. Triv after 3 with more Best Browns coverage. And